VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And welcome to Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have conducted numerous programs on Crosstalk, warning about the teachings of Islam. It goes well beyond religion to really total political conquest. The teachings of the Quran, we have learned, are antithetical to the very founding documents of our nation. Guests have warned that unless America wakes up soon, it's going to be too late. Well, Islam continues to advance across this nation with the blessing of many governmental leaders and bodies, and we're going to talk about that today, especially as, again, this issue surfaces in the state of Pennsylvania for what appears to be another Islamic center. Well, joining us in discussion, we welcome back to Crosstalk Sam Rohr. He is president of Americans Pastors Network and the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. It's a group that's been identifying, equipping, educating, and networking pastors and church members to stand in the gap for truth. For some 18 years, Sam had served as a state representative in Pennsylvania, so he knows government inside out and certainly understands as well Scripture and what it teaches and the important role that Scripture has in the national life of this very country as well. Sam, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Jim, it's great to be back with you today.
You're in Pennsylvania, and there's a lot of discussion going on as well as opposition regarding the establishment of what appears to be another Islamic center. It's been going on for weeks on end, but if you would just set the stage for us, tell us what's happening.
Well, at the source of the controversy is a defunct or a closed-down juvenile detention center that had built some years ago, run by the state, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, closed down for some reasons, and which has been sitting idle. Some months ago, all pretty much out of the blue, a very, very rapid movement of events began to occur where all of a sudden this piece of property, 145 acres, so it's not an insignificant piece of property, completely fenced in. It's a regular juvenile detention center. It's gymnasium and lots of buildings and dormitories and a full-fledged property of that sort, lots of things there. It moved forward kind of out of the blue and came onto the scene and being announced by the Department of Government Services, DGS, here in Pennsylvania, that, in fact, there was a buyer in line for it, and that this was going to be sold, led by the governor, Governor Wolf, here of Pennsylvania. That raised a great deal of concern by the local citizens. Shenango Township is the exact name of the township. It's outside Pittsburgh on the southwestern part of the state. It was in that area that this was happening. The local people began to come involved and say, wait a minute, what is this? Who is this? What is taking place, and for how much money, and all that kind of thing. Now, in very simple terms, this started out as a $7 million valued property. It was devalued, dropped about $3.5 million, and ultimately, now what's before was a bid for $350,000.
Oh, wow.
A $400,000, and at this juncture, as we sit here right now, it has moved quickly through the process. And I can say that from an inside perspective, Senate, House perspective, this is the fastest movement of a sale of a property of this magnitude, really, that anybody there in the House or Senate remembers. So it was very quickly acted upon. It does appear to be a done deal from the standpoint of the governor, although there are aspects of local governments and so forth that are still going on to try and question it. So we get into what it all is supposed to be, but that's what it was. That was a property. The governor led it. Very quick process, very small amount of money, and to an entity that is about as shrouded in secrecy as the whole process by which it has gone through.
Now, the buyer is at the Higher Education Services of North America, otherwise known as HESNA?
That is correct. It was a group, and if someone were to Google it and go in and look up HIRA, which is interesting because Hira is the name of the cave in which Muhammad hid.
Hmm.
So So it's an Islamic name. Hira is an Islamic name. It's the name of the cave. It is, in fact, Hira is run by Islamic entity. They had things up on their website for a while, which after this whole thing began to happen, things went off of their website. So they've taken some things down. But in simple terms, when one went to find out about who they were, the House and the Senate here in Pennsylvania who were looking couldn't find any information about them. The only information is that there is an office, an apartment, literally an apartment, in New Jersey that is the address of this entity, and they have only had income of $50,000 filed for the last 2 years, yet they're bidding $400,000, which obviously raises a question. And the state of New Jersey actually withdrew their nonprofit status because they failed to file necessary paperwork. So literally everything about this entity, let alone then what they intend to do, that's the next part of it, that who they are, where the money's coming from, who's involved, the fact that there's nothing really there, and what was there violated state law in New Jersey, and they closed down their nonprofit status, all compounds intrigue upon intrigue.
Now, I also have seen through some documentation that they boast that since they were established that they have, helped over 200 Islamic institutions and organizations throughout the U.S., giving them counsel, strategic planning, board development, capital campaigns, recruitment searches, and executive coaching. I mean, it's their real focus is for the establishment of Islamic organizations, it sounds.
Well, it appears that way, and one of the questions that came up to me, and I had on my, and I'm not a legislator now, but I put on my legislator hat, and I've interfaced with some of the senators here in Pennsylvania. I said a logical question is 300, and actually at one point it was 300 plus, then it went to 200 plus, and so, you know, we don't really, even that's another question, but the question is, I said, anybody see a list of who these organizations are? What schools? What juvenile detention centers? Mm-hmm. Because that's what they want to make this to be. Where are they? Did anybody even think about asking for a list? Did anybody check on that list? And the first thing that went in my mind was, you mean to tell me there are 300 potentially Islamic-led juvenile detention centers in operation across this commonwealth, or across this country, that nobody knows anything about? The whole thing is veiled in intrigue, and frankly, I don't know, nor has anybody that I've talked with, Jim, been able to confirm, in fact, that they've consulted with anybody.
And as you mentioned, Sam, a lot of questions about their own financial viability, in that when you look at the resources that have come their way, how they could be bidding on such a facility.
Well, and that obviously is a part of the whole bid process. There is a bid process by law that it needs to go through. And really what happened, an individual came up with the $350,000, and that was kind of strange, and so they pushed it through. And so this organization, Hira, actually came back with a second, but appears to be the same guy, and so it met the technical competes, or the pieces of the law that says there needed to be a multiple bid.
Yes.
Really, the multiple bid was the same entity,
right? So that's another big red flag that comes with this, is that everything looks suspect here. I mean, from papers I read, that the CEO of this company is bidding both personally and also bidding on behalf of the organization. In other words, bidding against himself, but in order to meet state qualifications.
And that's exactly correct. And if it does not violate the letter of the law, it is a violation of the spirit of the law.
Yes.
It was never intended that a person could change his name, add an S to the end of his name, or who knows what. In this case, I mean, it's a distinction with no real merit. Really bidding against himself. Why does the governor choose to overlook the bid process? Why is there such a rush to move this thing through? All of these are questions that are posed, that were hanging out there, and yet the governor decided we're going to go ahead and make a slam dunk thing and move this thing ahead and move ahead. That's a problem, not just for the local citizens, but frankly, it's a problem and of great concern for those members of the legislature here in Pennsylvania with whom I have talked.
So this is state-owned property?
It was state-owned property. Yeah, it was. Okay. It is state-owned property, and so the state was saying, look, we're moving to sell old property, and they can, and they should, but there's a process by which they follow, right. And to give it away is not a goal, and to do it with such controversy is never, ever the way property is to be moved.
Let's talk about local leadership, because I understand there's been concern on the part of local leadership that their questions were not being answered.
Well, that is the case, and they go all the way from county commissioners to township people, and really a Senate member and two members of the House here actually were moved by their constituents, and they sent a letter to the General Counsel of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and where they were citing these things, and they were citing these problems and these questions that remain and that are there, and asking for that the governor stop the process until certain questions were in fact answered, and it went really totally ignored.
Yeah, it's very interesting in all of this to see it unfold and transpire that certainly local government is concerned by this, but the governor seems to have this really on a fast track for the state. Has it been determined to date as to where the funds are going to come from for this?
No, and the only thing that that was stated, and that was stated by this individual, this the president of this organization, Asif Kunwar. And if somebody did a simple search for it, I did a simple search for who he was, and comes up that it's just a male between the ages of 40 and 50, having 7 addresses and 5 phone numbers with 0 relatives. Further questions, as far as I am concerned, but nonetheless, it is there. And the only thing that he has stated relative to the money says, he cited government grants and certain other nonprofit funding.
There's
a whole lot of questions, too.
Yeah, it does. But I saw in one place you're talking about foundations of Microsoft, Google, and Verizon that would help provide resources.
Well, again, that was cited. And as far as I know, at this point, there's been no transaction of funds. And so no one knows where they are. And even with some that I had spoken to had done some work on trying to find a money trail and a financial record history of this location and of this office, it seems not to exist.
This is said to be the development of a youth intervention center. What's going to transpire there? What's going to happen at the center?
Well, Jim, I mean, that's the question that I raised to the senators and asked them to raise as well. Theoretically, it is to be a juvenile rehabilitation center. They're saying, really, for juvenile delinquents that they will bring in. And the question that I raised, which has not been answered, is, all right, if that is the case, who are these juveniles? No one has any idea. From where are they going to come? No one has any idea. What is the process by which they will be remediated? No one has any idea. A question that I raised that would be legitimate is that, okay, if this is, in fact, a juvenile rehabilitation center, and they're going to take juvenile delinquents that no one knows where they're from, and they're going to train them to do who knows what, when there's no oversight, what agency of state government are they going to report to? Education or welfare? Nobody has any idea. I mean, it is a total secret.
Sam Rohr is our guest today on Crosstalk. We're talking about an Islamic center being built in Pennsylvania. That's the goal that they have, and we'll discuss it further after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, were the Aborigines that were found in Australia a primitive culture?
No, they weren't, Chris. When the British got there, these people had a very intricate culture and language and art, and even their own brand of technology. For instance, Aboriginal stone knives dating from centuries ago had serrated cutting edges. These were only invented in Western culture after the Second World War. There was nothing at all primitive about these early cultures. All people descended from Noah and his family, and they were technical enough to build a huge ship. Cultures do degenerate when they adopt pagan thought, but are not primitive in any evolutionary sense, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Sam Rohr is our guest today, president of American Pastors Network and the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. We're talking about this Islamic Center being built in Pennsylvania or being established in Pennsylvania. And a lot of questionable circumstances surrounding this. The whole from day one as to the funding of it, the purpose for this organization, who's going to be running it, how is it going to be financed, who is going to be utilizing the facilities, from whence will they come, what is that training that is going to undergo in this regard. And to date, Sam, these questions are still have not been answered.
No, they have not been answered, and unfortunately, Jim, it does appear that they will not be answered, that the governor has been very content to have the questions unanswered, to not answer the ones that have come up as posed by members of the legislature. Mm-hmm. And as a result of it, many members of the legislature have feeling like they have no place to go to do anything about it because the legislature does not need to vote on this matter. The dispensing or the sale of property of this type is within the jurisdiction of the administrative role of the governor. It generally does not ever go in this kind of a fashion where it is so quick with so many unanswered questions, and it just definitely doesn't go in the answer in the direction that this one went, where actually the Senate here did get involved. They did pass a resolution a couple of months ago, directing the governor, without the ability to actually direct him, but a resolution stating to stop the process, unanswered questions, and had communication with the Attorney General, who basically told him effectively to take a hike. They weren't going to talk to him, and that's basically where it sits. So it's a matter of, you know, the Senate says, well, we don't know where to go. And unless somebody does an awful lot of digging behind the scenes to find out who these people are, what they're going to do, it's going to happen. And as far as I'm concerned, part of the reason for my concern in this is that I was the legislature, so I do know about these kinds of things. But from a pastoral perspective, the interest in government being open and transparent and protecting the interest of the local citizens is the exact purpose of the primary purpose of government. And in this case, it's being violated, and with all these unanswered questions, it turns the purpose of government upside down. And so that's the Pastors Network perspective interest, then let alone what may or may not happen there in this facility because of Islamic roots, those unknown quantities add a third rail, really, to this whole consideration.
You know, are you aware of anybody that's launching a Freedom of Information Act request, a FOIA request, to dig up documents for anything dealing with the negotiations between the governor and with this group?
At this point, I am not aware of that.
Okay. And certainly getting to the bottom of that would provide, no doubt, some answers. I saw that there was an editorial in the Newcastle News, and they said it was the word Islamic that unleashed this latent xenophobia of some local residents who weren't shy about sharing disturbing slurs about Muslims and Islam in general. Are you just all guilty of xenophobia, you know, just this fear of this ethnicity that's coming in and having the center?
Well, from my perspective, obviously, in my discussion with you today on the phone, I didn't even bring that up. But did I? I brought up the issues of process, violation of the openness of the process, denying by the governor, denying the due interest of the elected representatives, the House members and the Senate members, in the denial of the interest, logical interest, for whatever reason they have it, on the local level, basically disregarding all of that. To me, that is a most primary. That has nothing to do with who or what may actually be in there. It's regardless of who may be in there or what they may be doing. Now, to that extent, this president, Asif Kunwar, who is the one who has bid on this, that's leading HIRA, he is the one who made the statement that he's very disappointed that there were people locally who were Islamophobic and that kind of thing, and they were raising questions about what may happen when it was only in his interest to come in and make a better place in the community. Well, That's okay as far as it goes, but it doesn't go really far enough because no one that has a legitimate business of this type, if it's in fact going to be legitimate, should in fact not go and meet with the people locally, explain openly, and be able to answer all of the questions legitimately that anybody, regardless of their background, should in fact be required to answer by government. And so so the questions that are there locally, I know from talking to people, are not primarily because it's an Islamic potential. It's the fact that all of these basic questions have gone unanswered, and then when you factor into it for those who do know that in the Islamic strategy for implementing their way of life and political system into a country and into America, it's always accompanied by deception. To Kia, it's called lying to the people.
Right.
Anybody who knows that, then it ought to raise a red flag and say, well, I really can't overlook it in this case. So that does become a part of it, but it's not what starts the questioning. It's actually what undergirds and substantiates the fact that these questions are not being answered.
Are you concerned, Sam, as well about the worldview that will come to the youth that would utilize the facilities?
Well, I mean, personally, the answer is absolutely yes. And this is part of the strange question. In this Commonwealth, and in every state that I know of, I don't know of a juvenile detention center or any kind of a rehab facility, whether it be a prison or a rehab or anything of that type, that doesn't answer directly to an authority, proper authority, within state government. Every school has to answer to the education department. Everybody that's a part of doing anything with children under the age of 18, theoretically, is to answer and be licensed by or into the Department of Welfare. But in this case, this whole thing is going to be sold for this purpose of juvenile detention. But up until the point that it was done, there were no questions asked by the governor. Well, if it's going to be juvenile detention, then what are you going to do? No questions asked by anybody to anybody. That is highly out of order, and that is a violation, really, of the whole intent of the way state government set up. So those things are legitimate questions that do rise to the occasion that anybody who has any question should be questioned. And then when you put in it, like I say, when you put into it the Islamic factor, which has with it all of its set of ideological underpinnings that are contrary to our Constitution, contrary to Judeo-Christian way of life, contrary to our concept of freedom, then you simply have to ask these other questions, and that's really what is driving the great concern on the ground in this area of western Pennsylvania.
Okay, now is there, what I'm hearing you say, Sam, is there is not finality yet to this decision, is that correct, to the transaction?
At this point, from what I am being told here, it has been given an approval nod by the governor. There are steps that have to be effectuated yet locally with the township and with the county, and there are things that are happening on that level that have not yet been worked out. And fortunately, there appears to be some effort there on the ground to try and get resolved before they finally sign off to the points that they have to. But the governor is the one who created the problem by doing what he did, and he should never have given a nod of assent when these kind of questions were raised. So the governor is really heavily involved in creating the circumstance, furthering the circumstance, building the questions, and making at this point that the local citizens do not have their legitimate questions answered, and the senators and the House members representing this area have not been able to fulfill their duty to their citizens. So there's a whole process problem here.
If you were on the phone line right now with Governor Tom Wolf, what would you be asking him on this?
Well, the logical question I would have to him, Governor Tom Wolf, how did you find out about this individual, this entity? How did you go about approving this bid process? Did you ask any questions at all about who they are and what they're doing? And, Governor, why were you in such a hurry? Why were you in such a hurry to ignore the consent, the interest of the Senate and the House and the local citizens? What's up, Governor?
Well, folks, if you'd like to direct your comments to Governor Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania, you can do so. Their number is 717-787-2500. That's 717-787-2500. That'll take you to the governor's office in Pennsylvania. Sammy, as you look at this issue as a whole, besides perhaps sharing concerns with the governor at this point, is there anything else that people can do from across the nation?
Well, I think, I mean, I hate to go back. I don't want that perspective. People need to pray for this.
Yeah.
They need to listen to VCY America and hear what you are talking about, because, Jim, you are one of the few programs in the country that are really, really careful about communicating the truth on issues that are of legitimate concern to every patriotic, constitutional Christian in America. And that's what I would say. Listen to this program and do pray for this, because there are other circumstances like this around the country. This is not the only one, clearly. And then, to the extent that you can, then follow through and perhaps make a call or a question to the governor here in Pennsylvania.
And your concern really does branch even beyond Pennsylvania, but to the nation as a whole, as this issue continues to unfold before our very eyes.
Well, absolutely, because, again, in this case, if in fact this group HIRA, H-I-R-A, Educational Services of North America, if in fact they are telling the truth, and they are consulting to like entities of 200 or 300, then the question is, where are they? They got to be sitting in every state. And if that's the case, there's a lot of people who have no idea what they are or what they're doing. And there again, that's why I'm saying, if in fact that is true at all, then it's all around the country. But we do know that there are facilities, there are charter schools, there are schools, there are other camps, they're located across the country, and at this point they've tended to be built or implemented under the watchful eye of government, local, and or state.
Sam Rohr is with us today from American Pastors Network, and he's going to share with you a word about the network here in just right after the break. But folks, again, to contact Governor Tom Wolf in this regard, the phone number is 717-787-2500. From appearances, those who have spoken up at local meetings on this, there's great concern regarding the volume of unanswered questions regarding the establishment of this youth center, this youth intervention center, as it's being termed. Many unanswered questions going on, and people are concerned. City leaders are concerned. Yet the governor seems to have put this on a fast track, giving his nod to this to take place, with all these unanswered questions. Questions regarding funding, regarding programming, regarding the staffing and establishment of this. The questions just go on and on and on, but they remain unanswered. Again, the governor's number is 717-787-2500. We'd like to open our phone lines as well here on Crosstalk to get your comments, your questions, your reaction to the issue. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. What is your reaction to this, folks? Are you concerned, as Sam is expressing concern from the state of Pennsylvania? Again, our number, 800-733-9829. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
If you're like most individuals, you look forward to your vacation. Many will take great effort to consider a destination the family will enjoy, what to do, where to stay, and what highways to take to get there. Sadly, most people spend more time planning their one-week vacation than they do preparing for eternity. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. None of us has the promise of tomorrow, and our eternal destiny is sealed at death. Wouldn't it be wise to investigate these things? That's the purpose of the book, Preparing for Eternity. In this book, author Mike Gendron contrasts the truth of God's Word with the teachings and traditions he was taught for over 30 years in the Roman Catholic Church. He found that eternal life is not merited by good works, but is given freely by God's grace to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior. The book, Preparing for Eternity, is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Sam Rohr is with us from the American Pastors Network, and we're talking about this Islamic Center being built in Pennsylvania, or established in Pennsylvania. The building is there, but to build up this a youth intervention center. We're taking your calls and comments on it, 800-733-9829. Before we get to the calls, though, Sam, give us a word about American Pastors Network and the work you're doing.
Well, Jim, glad to do that. American Pastors Network is focused on encouraging those pastors who believe in the authority of Scripture, salvation by faith in Christ alone, and have the courage to preach it, to stand up and preach it in these days. We call them remnant pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, in these days when I think the church is moving into apostasy at a great speed, God is, in fact, though He does have His remnant pastors. The American Pastors Network is really there to provide a framework by which they can stand together and enlarge their voice. So our goal is to establish state chapters across the country, which God is allowing us to do, 10 states now, and then to proclaim that truth into the public square through our radio programs and through materials with pastors and others that help the pew and those in the pulpit to understand a biblical worldview and to interpret these events of these days through the lens of Scripture and live it. Be salt and light is what we say. These are the most critical, important, perhaps perilous days that the world has seen, Jim, but they are also the most exciting time.
Yeah.
And we believe that the pulpit must be the ones to lead, and many of them are not. We are trying to demonstrate that it can be led, and God can. That's what God's model is. So if somebody wants to know more, go to our website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, to find out more and to help us in any way you possibly can.
Again, folks, that's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to begin in Cantonment, Florida. And Don, you're on the air. Hello, Don, you're on the air. Okay, Chuck in Camp Douglas, Wisconsin, you're on the air, Chuck.
Yes, thank you. I have a question for your guest there, a couple of questions regarding what's happening there with this Islamic alleged youth center and the governor's apparent reluctance to respond to local concerns. Is your governor not subject to recall or something of that sort? Is he immune from the public there?
No, but there is an election coming up next year, for the governor's race. He is being challenged. We would like to believe that this governor will be, in fact, defeated. He's been, and it doesn't always go this way, but this particular governor has been very, very encouraging for sexual diversity, gay rights, those kinds of things. He's a strong abortion supporter. These things kind of often walk together, don't they? And it's one of those things, but he is not a favorite governor. I don't think any action is going to be taken at this point. It's not like he has violated the law. There's been a twisting and there's been a skirting, perhaps, but the election next year, I think, will be the time that effort should be made here in Pennsylvania.
Okay, but they can't recall him in Pennsylvania.
We have no recall in Pennsylvania.
Okay, well, I wish you well, and I hope that the election happens with great public clamor before this thing gets built.
Before that transaction takes fully place there. Thank you for the call here, Chuck. And again, the facility is built. It's a building that's already in place, but it would have to be modified for this purpose. Is that correct?
There is. And whoever gets it, I mean, if these people, I mean, if actually happens and comes to full fruition, I understand that this facility is loaded full of asbestos. It's an older building. They're going to have a lot of money required in order to take and fix it up, which means that not only the small amount of money really to buy it, but they're going to require a lot of money to fix it up. So that's another concern about what happens, how that's done, all of that. Again, it's just one thing on top of another with the questions that are raised.
Our number is 800-733-9829. Let's go to Meridian, Mississippi. And Jim, go ahead. You're on the air. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Jim, you're on the air. Please go ahead.
My concern, sir, is that this is an ideal training thing to turn juvenile delinquents into children that believe in a God other than our God. I think that eventually it probably could turn into one of the worst things that could ever happen to the United States of America, because this could be a training camp for juvenile delinquents to become radicalized and flow back into the communities and cause disruptions everywhere. That's my opinion, sir.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Sam, there have been others who have expressed similar thought. What's your take on that?
Well, is that concern legitimate? The answer would be yes. Now, why would it be legitimate? Well, it would be because of this. They have already stated that the techniques that they will use, and they refer to it as a particular rehabilitation process that is uniquely Islamic. That's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, and their purpose is to train up individuals relative to Islam, they have already said that. So it's not a neutral based ideological system. Nothing that Islam does is ideologically neutral. But I should state and go a little further than that. No teaching relative to education or remediation is ideologically neutral. You're either going to teach from a biblical worldview perspective, you're going to teach from a postmodern worldview atheistic perspective, or in this case, they could be teaching from an Islamic worldview perspective. But all teaching, all instruction, has some ideological base at the core of it. So the concern about what may be done is not just because it's Islamic, it's just because it's going to be some ideological, and when you know that Islam is a major part and is going to be the focus, then you have to go right to the heart, Jim, of what does Islam teach?
Right.
And that's where then the concern begins, because they're not teaching them anything but Sharia by their own admission. And what you teach them Sharia, then you are teaching them to oppose the Constitution of the United States, to oppose Jesus Christ as God, to oppose any concept that there is that Israel has a right to live, or that Jews have a right to breathe, or that Christians have a right to do anything other than being subjugated. That is the teaching of the Quran and Sharia. So it's not a step into the dark. And it's not a far stretch to take and link those together. Those are the questions that must be asked by anyone who is an informed citizen, and particularly for someone's in a position of authority. And too often, Jim, those who are in authority, be they Washington or the state level, seem to turn a blind eye as if they have never heard of such a thing. And that is perhaps to me one of the most alarming things. That's why we think pastors need to be speaking from the pulpits and what your station is doing in order to communicate to people that worldview does make a difference, and you're either with Jesus or you're anti-Jesus, you're anti-Christ, or you're with Christ. That's what Christ himself said. So why is it so odd to take and raise that question when Christ himself raised it? It's just one of those amazing things. We're living in those amazing days.
We really are. And folks, you have heard the Shahram Haidians out there, and Usama Daktak, and the former FBI agent John Guandolo, Chris Gobetz as well. And as we go back, they understand that the teachings of Sharia, the teachings of Islamic law, are not compatible with our own Constitution of the United States. When we look at what Islam teaches, and that's a worldview, Quran 2 verse 244, and engage in war for the sake of Allah, and know that Allah is hearing, knowing. Quran 535, O you who have believed, fear Allah and desire the way to him. Perform jihad for his sake. Perhaps you may prosper. Quran 973, O you prophet, perform jihad against the infidel and the hypocrites, and be harsh with them, and their abode will be in hell, and evil is the destination. Time and time again, that is the teachings of Quran. That is the teachings of Islam. Bob is calling next from Huron, South Dakota. Bob, you're on the air.
Hello. First, I want to thank you for your program. It's fabulous. There's nothing else out there that is so interesting and exposes so many of the problems that we have in America. This one really, really concerns me. The reason is because I was a juvenile delinquent. I had been abused and for whatever reasons, I became a juvenile delinquent. For about 5 years, I was kind of a hellcat in our little community. I stole and vandalized and did everything that you, including fighting. And that brings me to a point about a lot of what you see on TV is children are so rebellious. They're downright dangerous, especially in cities where they have their hands on weapons from the time they're maybe 11 or 12 years old.
So, Bob, with that in mind, are you concerned about the establishment then of an Islamic Youth Intervention Center?
That's what I was getting at. If you sentence children like myself and other young children or teenagers also to an Islamic center, if they're not accountable to any organizations, you know, Christian-type organizations or even social services, if they are not accountable to anybody, they can teach the children who are exposed to their doctrines and so on Islam and, you know, and make these kids who should be, you know, taught good values in life and to teach them to stop doing that, all the ridiculous things. I accepted Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
When I was 14. It's a good thing I did.
Yeah.
But you consider that on the other end of the spectrum, these Islamic monsters forcing these kids to accept their radical views and opinions on life, we could have, oh my goodness, we'd have so many thousands, maybe millions of these children coming out ready to do whatever they're commanded to do.
Bob, thanks for sharing your concerns here today. Sam, and I think what Bob is expressing, you know, without that accountability, and that's part of the unanswered questions as to where the accountability is going to come from as far as who comes in, what is it they're being taught, how they're going to be taught, and who they're accountable to.
And I agree, and that's and I appreciate what Bob said, because that's been my concern as well, and then I talked about ideology. When you talk about intervening in a delinquent's life, you're talking about going right into the very heart and soul of the matter of choice in dealing with right and wrong. You have to, otherwise there is no remediation. As Bob said, he came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Christ alone brings peace and can heal the broken heart and correct the ways that life can go when we go our own way and not the way that the Lord has laid out. When you come to the matter of Islam in that regard, there is no peace in Islam. Islam means submission. It's all about war and fighting and the sword. That's exactly all that it is. It's the antithesis of peace and mercy and love, as we know from what the Word of God says, delivered through Jesus Christ. So they're two completely different vantage points, and yes, anyone in their right mind would say, really? We would even entertain the possibility of a juvenile delinquent rehabilitation without saying, what are you teaching them? No, absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. Gary, stay on the line. You'll be our next caller. And Mark and James and Monica, stay with us. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Sam Rohr is our guest from AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. We're continuing our series on why we need full-time apologists. We need full-time apologists to reveal that every Christian can contend for the faith, be an approved workman, and give a reason for the hope that we profess. Some people think that, well, we need folks to do this who have gone to school and gotten fancy degrees, maybe master's degrees or a PhD. The Bible calls all Christians to be able to do this. When you are a lay person who is an apologist giving a defense of the Christian faith, you're showing others that they can do the same. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Why aren't you ashamed? Because you can contend for the faith. You can defend it. You have nothing to apologize for, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And then go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need full-time apologists.
And you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Sam Rohr is our guest from American Pastors Network. And let's continue with the phone calls. Gary, thanks for your patience. Gary Racine, Wisconsin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I just have a couple comments on what he was saying. Isn't there any way that the citizens of Pennsylvania can sign petitions to do this, to try to change some of these calls the way that they're going? Because right now, I mean, we have the numbers. There's just too many people staying out of it and not enough people involved, because eventually pro-Islamic leaders are going to outnumber, and Christians are going to be useless. It's not going to be, we got to do it now. And my second comment is that last night, I think Richard Dawkins is an atheist, infamous guy. You know, he's been, you know, blasting Christianity for many years. Mm-hmm. And then one time he did Islam, and the left just completely went off on him. I mean, he's been ousted, he's been canceled. And what I've noticed and what I feel is that this globalist movement, this one world movement, is happening, and they have chosen Islam as their religion.
Yeah, I tell you what, we had a very muffled connection. But Sam, indeed, we are seeing Christianity as being one that becomes fair game. And something like Islam has a different set of guidelines, a different set of parameters as to who can, you know, refute its teachings.
They do. When's the last time that you heard Christianity phobe?
Yeah.
As an example. But no, Jim, what you said is exactly correct. The infiltration of Islam throughout the media, throughout the very structures of government, have over the last many years found themselves in a way of being influencing the gatekeepers of communication, I put it that way. And that is why there is such a harsh reply and a response when anybody even raises the least question in their mind about this matter of Islam or Muhammad or the Quran. When in fact, as Gary just said, for a Christian, it's fair game. No one stands up. The media does not stand up. Those in government don't stand up to protect someone who talks negatively of Christianity or Jesus Christ or as the only way to heaven. No, that doesn't happen. And so that should be a wake up call for the reason for people to understand. The ground is shifting under our feet, and only the truth of Jesus Christ can change that, and only people who know the Lord as being salt and light and standing up and speaking about these issues can contain the decay and the corruption of truth.
And there are those of you listening in Pennsylvania right now that perhaps you can be that watchdog group to go in and do a record search, a records request as to all the ins and outs of how this has come about, the relationship there, requesting all documents and communications pertaining to the approval of the group, the Hira group in coming in, and the HESNA group. That's the Hira Education Services of North America, Hira or HESNA, and do some digging and expose what's going on under the cloak of darkness. Mark is next in Monroe. You're on the air, Mark. Monroe, Wisconsin.
Yeah, my question would be, and this is similar to Barack Obama being proactive in Washington, D.C. I was just wondering, since this pertains to Pennsylvania, would you have any idea or inkling whether Harry Reid, even though he's also retired, would be behind the scenes influencing any of this agenda move that agenda forward?
Kind of like a shadow government type thing?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, it's possible, but I have no idea, so I really can't answer that. There's no reason to believe that he is, but again, these kinds of things happen when there is an ideology.
Yeah.
There's a common ideology that fits. And when you have an establishment philosophy, the establishment is actually working with the Islamic ideology. And those two are working together with the globalist mentality. These three ideologies are working together around the world and in this country to advance all of these things that are all in opposition to the Constitution, all in opposition to Jesus Christ, all in opposition to Israel, they're common in that you'll find that they are connected by those ideological, by those positions.
2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And certainly the God of this world, Satan himself, hath blinded the minds. And certainly the that's borne evident, shadow government or not, or deep state or not, that's the spiritual power that's working even beneath all this. Okeby, Minnesota, James, you're on the air.
Hi there. My name is James. I just my question is, would these students of these places, would they be literally seeking to promote Muhammad, or perhaps a jihad or and things of that sort?
Sam, we really don't know about the teaching yet, do we?
No, we don't. And the only connection, that's part of the question: what exactly are they going to do? However. When an entity says, we are going to teach the precepts of Islam, we're going to be using the techniques of Islam to remediate in this case, then they are identifying the source of the instruction. And, of course, that source of instruction, therefore, has to be the Quran, because it can't be anything else, and the Hadith, the teachings of Muhammad. They have to be those by the very nature of Islam. So from that, then you extract what you know. And, of course, those things you said are fundamental tenets within the instruction of the Quran and Islam. It's part and parcel of what it is. So they have to go together.
Let's see if we can quickly squeeze in Monica, Mobile, Alabama. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering exactly how many number of mosques are in our 50 states, and also is this just a down payment on that facility in Pennsylvania?
Well, it's a good question, Monica. I don't know. The numbers are in the 3,300 to 3,500 range that I've seen, but they're building them all the time, so that number is continually updated. There's no reason to believe at this point that this would be a mosque. There's nothing been stated about it. Could it be? The answer is yes, and I will say this, according to the law of Pennsylvania, the use of this property is up to whatever the individual buyers want it to be. Theoretically, it could be that. We don't know.
Wow. Sam Rohr with us today. And the website is AmericanPastorsNetwork.com, or .net, rather. Sam, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome, Jim. Great to be with you.
Again, folks, that's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let's be salt. Let's be light. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.